Hi, this is Debbie Voiles with Beginner Runner Podcast number 36, 10-Day Become a Runner Class, Day 1. This is the podcast for people taking the first steps of their journey to become a runner. I've decided I should condense the contents of all of my prior 35 episodes and put them into 10 concise lessons on how to get started. Think of it like a quick start program. Now, that doesn't mean you'll be actually getting out and stringing together miles right away. Absolutely not. But here's the thing. Becoming a runner is not necessarily an easy journey. Not for most people. And many people don't succeed just because, really, they don't know how to get started and they don't have any guidance. Now you will have just exactly that. I want to share with you the secrets I've learned in coaching beginner runners over the last dozen years, and I want you to hear enough in just 10 episodes to be convinced that you can do it. People fail because they have the expectation that they'll be able to run several miles at a time in only a few weeks. That comes from the fact that there are many programs like, for example, Couch to 5K programs that actually do take a person from not running at all to being able to run a 5K in 8 weeks. But most people will need twice that long, and some will need 6 months. And you know what? That's fine. What matters is success. It's not a race to see how quickly you can get to the point of being able to run several miles nonstop. Your goal is to become a runner for life. You need to go about that in just exactly the right way, the way that makes success the most likely, almost guaranteed. If you need several months to achieve that, so what? You'll be getting more fit with every single workout. You'll feel different, you'll have more energy, and you'll be excited because you'll know that you'll succeed. I've boiled it down to 10 short classes. Listen to one every day or binge listen all 10 at once. Then I'm confident that you'll have the confidence you need to succeed. You won't just be working on your body. It's just as important to work on your mindset. So let's get started. You'll need 45 minutes of time at least every other day. A timer of some sort. Your phone will work for that. And, of course, you'll need a good pair of running shoes. But more importantly, you'll need the right shoes for your body and your feet. I did a whole episode, episode number 5 of this podcast, about shopping for shoes. I'll link to that in the show notes. You'll feel much better about shopping for shoes after listening to that, I promise. But one thing I do want to be sure you know is I would not go into a big box store and buy a $50 pair of shoes. Now, I know you're probably thinking, well, what if this doesn't work out? Well, first of all, that's the wrong mindset. I can tell you that right now. Go into a good running store, a running specialty store, and get their advice. Get them to fit you. You won't regret it. You don't have to pay $150 for a pair of shoes, but you'll probably need to pay between $70 and $120. So, now, here's Become a Runner class number 1, the right way versus the wrong way. I'll tell you how not to try to start running, and then I'll tell you what you should do. Most people think becoming a runner is intuitive. They think they should run until they can't run anymore, then walk until they catch their breath, then repeat. That's not the right way. I'll tell you why this is a bad idea, and then I'll tell you how to do it instead. First of all, it often, almost always, leads to injury. Even the most experienced runner knows that the time when injury is most likely is when they're going full blast at a very intense 100% effort, which you're certainly doing if you run until you can't run anymore. That's a bad idea. And to do it repeatedly is even worse. To do it when you're just starting out, when your body's not accustomed to running, when you're not already physically fit, is worse than that. The second thing is it takes too long to recover. Even experienced runners never train at 100%, even when doing speed work, because it takes several days to get over that. At this time, running any for you is intense, right? So, you don't want to do it that way. I'll explain how to prevent this problem. Third, doing this is not pleasant. Running until you can't run and have to stop is not fun. In fact, it's miserable. Seriously, you want to become a lifelong runner. How will you stay motivated if every time you get out there, you hate it because it's so intense? Running until you have to stop is awfully hard. It's not fun to be huffing and puffing and red in the face and feel like you're going to keel over or throw up or both. If you go to a trailhead and watch experienced runners, we'll usually be running at a conversational pace, laughing and chatting away. So that's what you need to be able to do. Now, not in the beginning. In the beginning, any running may be a challenge, but certainly I don't want you to be going until you can't run anymore. I want you to run just a small amount each time until you get accustomed to it. So, what is the alternative? What works? Well, happily, the answer is easy. No, really, that's the answer, to keep it easy. What works is simply to lower the intensity throughout the whole process. Experienced runners keep getting out there day after day, year after year, because they enjoy it. They're addicted to this healthy lifestyle, and you can be too, but easy is the answer. We keep going back and repeating the experiences that bring us satisfaction and pleasure in life. Most would-be runners don't realize that the pleasure element is critical to their continuing, and after all, what's the point if it doesn't become a part of your life? There's no point in becoming a runner for 6 months. Let's get to the nitty-gritty. So here's the how to do it, the correct way. First, start with running segments that don't tax you too much. Now, it's obvious, I think, that you're not going to walk out the door and just be able to run indefinitely for very far. So, of course, you're always going to warm up first, and I'll be talking about that in another podcast. But first, you start with running segments when you're doing the walk-run that don't tax you too much. How do you know how long the running segment should be when you start? Well, in the 10th episode of this series, I'll explain a diagnostic test that will tell you exactly how to start, how long your running segments should be. The test will measure your starting running fitness or level of unfitness and tell you exactly how much running to start with when you're doing your walk-run intervals. For most people, it won't be a number of minutes, but rather a number of steps, and that's fine. It's important to accept that. Second, progress slowly. Increase all the variables at a very gradual rate. Consider that there are three variables in a walk-to-run program: the duration of the running segment, the duration of the walking segment, and the number of times you repeat the walk-run interval. Increase the length of the running segments gradually. Decrease the span of the walking segments gradually, and increase the number of repetitions of the intervals gradually. Do you notice a theme here? All that really matters is that over time, what you're doing is making you healthier, that you don't experience injuries, and that you enjoy the process. Just remember, gradual progression is the secret. You must only change one variable from week to week. Now, if you only change the variable a little bit, then you might be able to get away with changing two, but never change three, and it's wisest really to just change one variable at a time. And feel free to stick with exactly the same workout, the same pattern and time of walking and running for several weeks. You're still getting more fit with each passing week, increase it only when it starts to feel easy. So, just to make sure you get my meaning, here's an example. You'll always start with a walking warm-up. Then, you might alternate walking 3 minutes with running 20 steps. And as an aside, I never use the term jogging because that tends to have a negative connotation. I believe if you're getting both feet off the ground simultaneously, even for a split second, you're running. You are a runner, no matter the speed. So I'll always be using the term running, even if I do mean that I want you to do it slowly, which is, of course, what I want you to do in the beginning. Remember, easy is the rule. For the running segments, I want you to run at the gentlest possible pace. So I'll repeat. If you start with alternating walking 3 minutes with running 20 steps, let's say repeat it 10 times, then the next week, you might cut the walking portion down to just 2 minutes, keeping the running segments at 20 steps. Then the next week, You might keep the walking at 2 minutes, but change the running to 30 steps. The next week, you might keep the walking and running intervals the same, but increase the number of intervals from 10 to 15. The way to think about it is that there are three variables: the time walking, the time running, and the number of repeats of each interval. Always do the same thing for a week before changing any of the variables, and feel free to repeat exactly the same schedule for 2 or 3 weeks, whatever feels comfortable. You don't have to increase the difficulty to continue to improve. As it feels more and more comfortable, more and more easier, you'll feel more confident. And that's a really important requirement to being able to succeed: confidence. I'll provide you with another example of a walk-to-run schedule that shows how you might progress in day 3 of this series. That day is about running schedules. But if you worry that you won't be able to decide what to do or when to change one of the variables, I have an online program that includes a detailed daily schedule. Now, don't get me wrong. While I'm happy to have you join that program, which, by the way, only costs $35 for an entire year, you won't need that to successfully become a runner. This 10-day quick start plan will give you everything you really need. The main thing to know, the overarching rule, is never to train at an intensity that feels hard. There's a time and a place for that, but you're not nearly there yet. That's it. That's really all of Lesson 1 of this Quick Start mini-series. However, I do have homework for you. The thing is, you have to get your body ready. You have to get your body strong. Part of this program is to keep you running injury-free. So we're going to do our best to prevent injuries. That's why you're going to do this homework starting today. If you haven't been already doing it, go for a brisk walk. Just walk at a pace that's fast enough to raise your heart rate, and walk at least a mile. Over the next few days, build up to 2 miles. If that's hard, you're going to have to just keep doing the walking for several weeks because you're not ready to start running. But that's no big deal. You're still getting in better shape. But when walking a mile or so is not too hard, then you're ready to get started with the walk-run intervals. Now, the second part of your homework is that there are 3 exercises to help you strengthen the right muscles and to help you prevent injuries. Now, I want you to do these every other day. You do not need to do them every day. The first one is balancing on 1 foot. The second one is what's called toe tappers. And the third one is to do a plank. Now, I'll explain all of them. Bouncing on 1 foot takes a little bit more explanation. It's not that complicated, but there's a lot to think about. And I want you to understand why it's important. You're going to balance on 1 foot for 15 seconds. And then balance on the other for 15 seconds. Do this barefoot if at all possible. The other leg should be lifted to the point that the upper leg, the part above the knee, is parallel to the ground. This is a great exercise. For one thing, it helps with coordination that you need to run. Think about it. When you're running, you're always just on 1 foot. So training balance will lead to greater comfort from square one, from day one. So it'll make you feel more stable. It also strengthens the foot muscles. If you do it barefoot, you'll notice that it works all the involuntary muscles of your foot, which can go a long way towards preventing plantar fasciitis, a very common running injury, especially for newer runners. It also strengthens the muscles in the hip on the side that you're on, the side where you're holding up the leg. Your leg is pretty heavy, and it works the muscles of the hip on the other side because you're using the other side for stability. You'll feel all of this right away. Now, here are a couple of tips for doing the balance exercise. First of all, keep the knee of the leg that you're standing on slightly bent, just a little bit flexed. Keep your eyes fixed on an object straight ahead of you. That actually makes it easier. And don't look down. Also, don't bend your upper body. Now, When you do this, at first you'll probably keep falling over a little bit. It's perfectly fine to tap your foot on the ground to catch yourself as many times as you need to. Or do this for next to a table or next to a counter where you can reach out and just tap it with your fingers to help you with balance. You will be amazed at how quickly your body responds, your proprioception, and you get better at doing this. Now, I said 15 seconds per leg, but what I want you to do over the next couple of weeks is work up to 1 minute for each leg. Now, exercise number two, I call it toe tappers. You won't believe how easy this is, but when you do it, you also won't believe how quickly it starts to hurt. Sitting or standing while keeping your heel on the ground, lift the rest of your foot as high as it will go. Pause and then slowly lower it back down. That's really all there is to it. Do this until the muscles in the front of your leg start to burn. It won't take long. This helps to prevent shin splints. The muscle that's burning is exactly where you would feel shin splints. You can do this exercise anywhere, even when you're at work sitting at a computer. The third exercise is a plank, a great exercise for strengthening your core. Do it in either of the two basic ways. Either on your forearms with your arms bent or with your arms outstretched, hands directly below your shoulders. In the show notes, I'll put a link that explains how to do a proper plank. If you do it wrong, you could end up with a backache, so be sure you learn how to do a plank correctly. A stronger core will pay off in better running form, better endurance, and less stress on your entire body when you run, which will mean fewer injuries or hopefully no injuries. Start with just 20 seconds and build up from there. Within a week or so, you should be up to being able to do it for a whole minute. Now, all three of those exercises together won't take you 5 minutes, so it's hard to come up with an excuse why you shouldn't do them. You only need to do them every other day. Now, if you want more instruction and detailed schedules, as I said, I have an online walk to run to 5K program. You get a detailed schedule for each week that explains exercises, stretches, the walk-to-run intervals, recommended cross-training, a dozen videos, and it includes access to my private Mojo for Running Facebook group. I stop by there every day to answer any questions. Now, it's called the Mojo for Running group because I also have an online programs for more experienced runners training for their first 10K or first half. Those people tend to be people who listen to my other running podcast, which is called Mojo for Running. That was my original running podcast, and that's why the coaching program is at this address, coaching.mojoforrunning.com. I'll link to that in the show notes. The Walk to Run program is $35 for a full year of access. Now, I'll have several links in the show notes, so you'll need to know where to find the show notes. Both of my podcasts reside at my mojoforrunning.com website. When you get there, just click on Beginner Runner Podcast, and you can click on any specific episode to find the show notes. Now, for an extra dose of motivation, I hope you'll check out a running documentary film that I helped to make that features myself, six of my runners, and several other runners from around the country, including the amazing running icon, Catherine Switzer. I guarantee you'll be inspired. It's called The Human Race. It's available on Amazon, and right now, if you have Prime, it's free. It's also on YouTube and Apple and quite a few other channels. I'll link to that in the show notes as well. But when you search for it, be sure you search under the term The Human Race Documentary, because there are lots of things called The Human Race. All the runners in the film are over 50, but if you're under 50, you will still be incredibly inspired, I promise. You'll certainly realize that if they can do it, you can do it. After watching it, you won't even entertain the possibility that you can't become a runner if you want to. You'll get to hear Stanford professor Dr. Fries explain that exercise is the one thing that reverses all five markers of aging. So even if you're 30, it'll change your attitude about aging and reinforce your decision to run. It'll change the rest of your life, I promise. I hope you'll follow me on Facebook and Instagram. Now, I always end with a quote, but I want to leave you with one last important point from me, and then I will still have a quote. And that's this. There is nothing wrong with baby steps, but standing still will get you nowhere. The cornerstone of my beginner coaching is that if you start slowly with very gradual progression, success is guaranteed. But you must have the courage to start, which leads me to this quote from John the Penguin Bingham. The miracle isn't that I finished. The miracle is that I had the courage to start. So my question is, do you have the courage to start?